Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather on this third Sunday in Advent to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are getting ready. We are in preparation mode, ready for the coming of our Lord. So we give God thanks that we have the opportunity to be here this morning on this third Sunday in Advent. Would just like to make a couple of announcements, apprise you of a couple of announcements. One is that this Sunday is the Sunday for our congregational meeting. We will be meeting immediately after worship for our congregational meeting. We would hope that all of you will be able to stay for that. If you are visiting with us as well, you are also welcome to stay for that. But that will happen after our worship service this morning. Also, as the as we are ticking down towards Christmas, just to remind you that we will be having a Christmas Eve service, and that service will be will begin at 7:30 on Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. So please take note. Hope to again see you all there at that time for our Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock. There are many other other things going on here at Alney Presbyterian Church, even as we are in continue to be in pandemic mode. Please make sure that you read your bulletin thoroughly. Also, go to our web page and our Facebook page to stay abreast of what is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Of course, if you are visiting with us here this morning, we are glad that to have you here. We would ask that you would just take the time to fill out the little visitor's card that is in the front of you, in the pew in front of you, and place it in the collection plate as it comes around so that we have the opportunity to know that you are here. And we give God thanks for those who have visited, who are here with us this morning, who have been associated with this church before. And we give God thanks for glad to have you again. Glad to see you.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Hear the word of God. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cast out your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear evil no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on the day of the festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home. At that time I will gather you together. Yea, I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading this morning will come from the book of Philippians. We'll be reading from chapter 4 in the book of Philippians, verses 4 through 7. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all people know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, as you've heard, today is the third Sunday in Advent. Christmas will be here in less than 2 weeks, and on Christmas Eve, when we all meet here, we will have an opportunity to light the Christ candle. The Christ candle is that big white candle in the middle of the Advent wreath there, but we'll have an opportunity to light that candle on Christmas Eve. This Sunday is called Gaudete Sunday, or Joy Sunday, because that's what the word Gaudete means. It is Latin for joy. And on this Sunday, you notice we lit the rose-colored candle, which is the joy candle. All of the candles of Advent are deep purple, but the joy candle is always a rose-colored candle. Someone asked me last year why the joy candle is rose-colored, why all the other candles in Advent are purple, and I didn't have an answer for him at that time. I never thought about it. I always just lit the candles as they come. But the reason is, of course, that the season of Advent is a season of penance. It is a season where we are asked to look deep down inside of our lives and acknowledge all the brokenness and sinfulness in our lives as we prepare for the coming of the Lord. But on Sunday, Joy Sunday, we lighten things up a little bit because we acknowledge that Advent is also a season of joy. And so on Joy Sunday, it is the coming together of the deep purple of the penance season, but also the Christ candle coming together in anticipation of the Lord. And so we get this brightly colored mauved candle or rose candle, which signifies the joy that we are anticipating, the joy that we are waiting for, the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that is the candle that we lit this morning. Of course, we are reminded that we, as God's people, are called to be people of joy. That doesn't always come through in many of us Christians. Sometimes we're known for all kinds of other things. We're known for our dire appearance. We are known sometimes for our strictness. We are known for all kinds of things, but sometimes that feeling of joy, that sense of joy, is not something that comes through whenever you ask people about who we are. People don't often associate followers of Christ in our world today with joy, with being people who have joy. But on Advent, this third Sunday in Advent, we are reminded that we are called to be people of joy, that God's people are people of joy. That's what our lectionary readings that we read this morning are all about. They are about joy. We don't read the Old Testament book of Zephaniah very much. In fact, he's one of those minor prophets. It's just a small little book, a couple of pages long. Most of it is filled with doom and gloom and judgment. Until, of course, you get to the last half of the last chapter, chapter 3. And then it becomes a virtual pan of joy. Shout, O Israel, says the prophet, rejoice, exult with all of your heart. God is going to restore your fortunes. It's about joy. And then there is, of course, the iconic passage from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi that we read, rejoice in the Lord always, says Paul. And again, I say rejoice, joy. It's all about joy. If you're like me, of course, you're probably saying to yourself, come on, Paul. Maybe I can be joyful some of the time. Maybe I can be joyful a lot of the time. But rejoice all the time, rejoice always. Come on, Paul, don't you watch the news? Don't you know what kind of world we live in? Don't you know that the world is often a place that does not induce joy? And yes, that's what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God's people are to be a people of joy. It might be easy this morning to dismiss Paul as being one of those positive thinking gurus peddling a sugar-coated faith that is all sunshine and no rain. That kind of faith, of course, is popular these days. In fact, many of us Christians are often accused of promoting a kind of placid, superficial cheerfulness that refuses to deal or even to acknowledge much of the suffering and pain and hurt that takes place in the world. Indeed, I often know people who don't come to church because they are experiencing pain in their lives, and they feel that if they come to church, they will be out of place, that people won't understand what's going on, because they think that they need to have this placid, superficial cheerfulness all the time. But Paul is acknowledging this morning that we are to be people of genuine joy, not a superficial joy, but a genuine joy. Paul is no slicked up television preacher carefully calibrating his message to what will sell in the religious marketplace. Nor is he naive about the kind of world we live in. He knows that it's a world of brokenness. He knows it's a world where things go wrong. He knows it's a world where we are often embroiled in pain. He knows it's a world of disease, of COVID-19. He knows it's a world of war and conflict. Indeed, Paul has never been shy about cataloging some of the challenges that he himself have had. He says that he has been shipwrecked, he has been beaten, he has undergone all kinds of hardship. And indeed, we are reminded that as Paul was writing this letter to the church at Philippi, that he himself was in prison, locked up in a dingy jail cell far away in Rome. I would think that would be bad enough, to be in prison, to have your freedom curtailed, to be in a dungeon somewhere. But for Paul, it was even worse than that. Paul knew that he had a capital offense hanging over his head. Paul knows that he's going to have to stand before the Roman emperor and explain to the emperor why Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings, and the emperor is not. And Paul knows what that's probably going to mean. He knows that he's probably going to be sentenced to death. He knows that a death sentence is over his head. And for me, I would have been spinning a tale of woe. But that's not what Paul does. Instead, he writes to the church at Philippi, and he says, "Rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord always." And in case you didn't hear me, let me say it again. Rejoice. God's people are to be a people of joy. Rejoice. The essayist Debbie Thomas says that joy requires that we hold on to two realities at once. The reality of the world's brokenness in one hand, and the reality of God's love in the other. Joy, she says, is what happens when we daily live into the belief that God can and will bridge the gap between the world we long for and the world we see before our eyes. That's the kind of joy that Paul is talking about this morning. It's the kind of joy that the Bible often speaks of. It's the joy that we are called to celebrate during this season of Advent. Joy is not a feeling. It is not about cheerfulness or happiness. Joy is rooted and grounded in the promises of God. Joy, biblical joy, is not so much about emotions. It's not about being up or down. It's not something that is tied to the circumstances around us. It's not necessarily about what is going on with us in our lives. But it's more akin to what C.S. Lewis once said, this deep longing that we have inside of us. This deep, deep longing for a better world. This deep longing that we have that the way things are not the way they are supposed to be. Joy, in other words, is about the longing we have, the longing that each and every one of us have for home. That's what the prophet Zephaniah says this morning. Zephaniah says, rejoice, exult, because God is coming to take you home. God is going to bring you home. Christmas is a time when the merchants around us have figured out how to exploit that deep nostalgia that we all have for home. Frederick Buechner acknowledges that the older we get, the more we go back to the days of our youth. Particularly, he notes, we go back to remember the place that was our childhood home. We remember the people whom we loved there, some of them perhaps long gone. We remember the activities we engaged in. We remember the books that we read. We remember the games we played. But most importantly, we remember the sense of peace. We remember the love and belonging that we experienced there. And we long for that. We long for that sense of home. We long for it because God has placed that longing there in the midst of our hearts, that longing for peace, that longing for love, that longing for God's righteousness, that longing of well-being for everyone, that longing for the presence of God in our midst. God has placed that longing in our hearts. And it is in the midst of that longing that God speaks to us and promises us that God will bring us home. And that's the occasion for our joy. I was listening to a program not long ago, and he was interviewing a woman, an immigrant woman. I can't remember where she was from, but it was somewhere south of the border, and this woman and her family was really having a hard time. Can't remember if she was an illegal immigrant or not, but in general, some people who are immigrants are having a hard time in our society. But they were asking this woman if she had a desire to go back home. And she said, yes, she would love to go back home, but she can't. At least not right now, because her home is being racked with violence and conflict and poverty, and so she fears that if she goes back home, that she and her family would die. And in some sense, that woman's story is the story of all of us. It is the story of humankind. It is the story of being lost. It is the story of being cut off. It's the story of sin. It's the story of our first parents, Adam and Eve. It's the story of being kicked out of the Garden of Eden, where we felt at home because God's presence was in the midst of us. And we want nothing more than to be back home, to be back in the garden, to be back in the place where we were loved and cared for. And the good news of Advent, the good news that is brought in this season, is that we can rejoice, that we can be people of joy. We can rejoice because that is exactly what God is going to do. God is going to bring us all of us human beings. God is going to bring us home. God is going to heal this world of everything that makes us exiled from it. Rejoice, exult. Says the Lord, because I'm going to bring you home. Advent is the preparation for the fulfillment of our deepest longing. And that is the occasion and the reason for the joy that we have. Advent, of course, is not just about our joy, but it's also about God's joy. It's also about the fact that God delights in us. God rejoices in us. That's what the prophet Zephaniah says. God rejoices in each and every one of us. It's not just that we are called to rejoice, but God rejoices in us. Oftentimes when I think about God, I think God is up there looking down at us, and God may be, you know, just a little bit disappointed. But no, we're told that God rejoices in us. God loves us. God cared for us. God delights in us. God has given everything for us. God delights in us and rejoices in us. And so we too are called to rejoice, to be people of joy. Paul says that the Lord is near. That's what we celebrate during the season of Advent, the coming of God, the nearness of God, that God is coming near. And Paul says, rejoice, because the Lord is coming near. And when Paul says the Lord is coming near, I don't think he just means in a chronological sense. I don't think he just means that the Lord is coming right around the corner, or the Lord is coming in a few years. I think Paul recognizes that the Lord is near. The Lord is always near. The Lord is always present. Whatever we might be going through this morning, whatever may be deep down inside of your heart, whatever might be causing you anxiety, whatever might be causing you fear, whatever future may seem to be in danger, understand that the Lord is near. The Lord is close by. And so you can rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Because the Lord is near. May the Lord continue to empower us with his Spirit to be people of joy, to live into that joy, to proclaim that joy in everything that we do, because that's who we are. God's people are called to be people of joy, of a deep, abiding joy for what God has done for us and for what God will do in bringing us home. Home to God's self, home to God's heart. He is bringing us home. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning in this Advent season, this season where the days are darkened and where you have called us to be the light of the world. There are all kinds of things in the midst of this world currently, and all kinds of things in the midst of our life, which causes us to lose hope and brings us fear. But help us to remember, Lord, and have faith in your promises, that you hold all of our lives in your hands, that no matter how scary the world may look, no matter how chaotic things may be, no matter how the forces and powers of death may rant and rave, that the future belongs to you. And for all of that, we can be people of genuine joy. We ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.